Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. And we are live video streaming this show on Facebook. So just type in Today's Issues. Also on YouTube, type in Today's Issues live stream and check our show out that way. Send us an email if you'd like to at comments@afr.net. Chris Woodward from OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News is in the studio with us. Steve Jordoff still on. What's Steve doing, backpacking across Europe or something?
He's touring the Golden State, getting some much-needed
R&R. He's from California originally.
He is, yes.
So is he coming back, though? Or is...
Lord willing, he'll be coming back later this week. Until you say otherwise, I'll be joining you for this segment.
No, you do a great job. It's just we have Steve's fans ask us.
Sure. He is,
about where,
he is
where
alive
he is.
And well.
Yeah,
I
those three people called last week.
They did. Yeah. But hey, it's three more than we got, Ed.
That's true.
No, I did tell him before he left. I did tell him before he left that I would wear a tie in his absence.
But have you?
I have not. I did wear some long sleeve shirts though.
I don't think that's the same thing, is it?
No. But he normally wears a long sleeve shirt and a tie for those that have never seen Steve live and in face.
So Steve Jordahl will be back for those wondering where Steve is. All right, what do you got leading the news?
Well, we're going to continue to cover the historic summit between our president, Donald J. Trump, and the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. A lot of people are kind of, you know, going to wonder, oh, I'm tired of talking about this, or I'm tired of hearing about this. But it's historic, guys. I mean, it's never happened. For somebody like myself and Walker, younger Americans, we've never seen something like this. It's on the scale of what you guys witnessed in the 80s between President Ronald Reagan, the Gipper, and the leader of, I guess, the USSR at the time, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Did you say Gipper?
Gipper.
Gipper.
Gipper, okay.
One of Reagan's many nicknames. Yes. But it's the first ever meeting between a sitting U.S. president and a North Korean leader. It's going to be unfolding in the coming hours, so we will be covering that with a who's who of voices on the issues. Certainly, you guys have already weighed in with Fred in the first hour. But this is historic. It's something we're going to be talking about, and hopefully we'll see some positive things from it. We've already seen people say that Trump's stance at the G7 summit and the fact that he's not going to back down to other foreign leaders on things like trade, Paris Climate Accord, the Iran nuclear deal, people are optimistic that he is going to show some force and take a stand and hopefully get something positive for North Korea that not only benefits U.S. concerns, but the world at large. What do you guys think?
Ed?
Well, I mean, that's certainly the hope. I'm sure there are foreign policy hawks, so to speak, who would not want the president to give too much up. I don't think you're going to see U.S. troops pulling out of South Korea anytime soon. But I think that, you know, maybe some kind of deal can be struck. But I think that President Trump would be wise and will be wise to wait on any big decisions until we see whether or not Kim Jong-un is going to keep his word. Because the North Korean leaders have been notorious for making these overtures to the West in exchange for getting money and trade and all those kinds of things. And then they act up again to kind of heighten tensions with the hopes of pulling off another deal 5 years down the road.
So. You know, one name that gives me a sense of confidence here is John A. Bolton. John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, is excellent on foreign policy, and he's kind of the guy in charge right now, with the exception of President Trump.
Right.
So
and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, right. I have a lot of confidence in him.
Exactly. So I think they won't pull an Iran deal on us. I think there will be verifiable steps taken that the nuclear program is demolished or on its way to be demolished before we start easing sanctions. And
I tell you what, I think this has a high level, has a great chance of being successful because the North Korean leader seems desperate to get something for exchanging for taking down his nukes. We don't know yet all the reasons for that. Ed speculated last hour on some of the ones. It may be that he thinks President Trump's going to attack him. And, you know, sometimes it helps for your opponent to think you're a little crazy.
Right. That's true.
Maybe Kim Jong-un goes, guys sending all these carriers over here and they could bomb me and take me out. And then what do I have, you know?
Right.
So we'll see how this goes, but I do think President Trump holds all the cards, so to speak, in the, quote, art of the deal. And so if he gets, and I think this is easily verifiable, that is, if Kim Jong-un goes, hey, we're ceasing our nuke program, and you can come look at our stuff, and, of course, the U.S. has satellite surveillance. Mm-hmm. We probably have, you know, intelligence on the ground, I'm sure. So there are ways.
Well, here's something else that would be huge if President Trump could pull this
off. So I wouldn't try to trick President Trump. As I'm saying, that's the reason I say high level of chance of succeeding in this deal is because I don't think Kim Jong-un is coming there to try to trick Donald Trump.
Right.
Go ahead.
Here, what kind of foreign policy success would this be? They have a joint, whether it's now or it's a few weeks from now, mm-hmm. if they have a follow-up, the U.S., even bring China in, North Korea and South Korea, they make public their plans to have a peace treaty. Because the Korean War is technically still on.
Right.
All they had was a ceasefire. What if you had a peace treaty formally ending the Korean War? And then gonna have talks between Kim Jong-un, South Korean leadership, North Korean leadership, mm-hmm. and
China.
We're gonna talk China and the U.S. and talk about maybe doing some disarmament, you know, not having as many, all that kind of stuff. But if you announce a peace treaty ending the Korean War,
yeah,
that would be huge.
Yeah. Now I will say I don't know how the Trump administration is going to get past Kim Jong-un's human rights record.
Right.
You know, there are talks about, I saw some links on Drudge about how that's going to kind of be a side, mm-hmm. a separate topic for another day. But
sure.
at the same time, I just don't know how, you know, I don't know how you get around that because those people over there are treated
horribly.
That's
not our concern. That's not our top concern, Walker. That sounds callous. Our top concern and the top concern for our commander-in-chief is to end the military threat against our country.
Mm-hmm.
Posed by Kim Jong-un. You're correct. They have serious issues with the mistreatment of their own people, but so does Cuba.
Right.
So does China.
So does China.
Mm-hmm.
So does probably half the world,
right.
quite frankly.
Right.
So we can champion human rights, but we can't police them everywhere in the world. We just can't do that. But if I were President Trump, at some point I would challenge the dictator of North Korea to open up his country to human rights. And if you open up, may even put some conditions on there. You start changing, giving your people more rights and more, more freedom. We will invest money into your country to help you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So something like that could be another big step toward peace in that region. Of course, you're kind of in a, if you're Kim Jong-un, this dictator of North Korea, you're kind of in a precarious situation because, yes, you might worry that President Trump was going to take you out and you might be solving that problem with this peace agreement that they're going to try to come to in the next day or two. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he's got to be looking over his shoulder in his own country because he has been ruthless with his own people, and people don't soon forget that. Now, if you the old saying, if you're going to take down the king, you better behead him.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, within North Korea, there's mm-hmm. got to be people thinking about, well, is he showing weakness here? And could we have a coup, for example, or I don't know.
Which is probably why he rarely leaves his country. his own country.
Well, that's true.
Because while you're not there, you don't know what's happening.
That's true. That's true. All right, Chris Woodward, next story.
All right. There is a big event taking place tomorrow in the state capital of California.
A big event, Chris?
A big event taking place in the state of California tomorrow. The California Family Council, in partnership with a ministry called Equipped to Love and some other organizations, are hosting what they're calling a Day of Action on the state capitol steps to fight for the freedom of all Californians to live out their faith and pursue the counseling of their choice. Their big concern is the bill we've talked about a lot on this program and certainly in our newscasts. The bill in question is AB 2943, a bill that outlaws resources, conferences, or paid counseling for anyone with unwanted same-sex desires or gender identity confusion. People have also said this would ban the Bible, things like that, in a bookstore in the state of California if it were to become law. Among those appearing tomorrow at a press conference are Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. At the top of the hour, people might have heard my story with Ken Williams of Equipped to Love. Ken is someone who calls himself a once-gay person. He's now married to a woman. He is trying to help people with unwanted same-sex desires find help. He had a conversion, a faith, you know, based experience in which he's trying to help people. He's trying to help lead others, too. And they're concerned that if California actually makes this law, that it's going to outlaw them and other people from sharing their testimonies, from sharing their experiences, because people behind the bill are saying it's science what you are. There's no changing it. What they're trying to offer you is phooey. Don't believe it. Do what California thinks is best. What do you guys think about this bill?
Well, I think it's, and I'm not the first to make this observation, I think it reveals a lot about the left culturally when they will say you can't change your sexual orientation, but you can change your sex. You know, you can't change right. who you're attracted to, but you can change your gender from your biological sex to whatever you say you are. Mm-hmm. So there's no real consistency. Why couldn't a gay man just simply say, I'm going to identify now as a heterosexual? Mm-hmm. Because of the, you know, so that to me is part of the lunacy on the left. But I absolutely think that what these folks on the left are after is to shut down any and all discussion, even if it's based in faith, mm-hmm. Christian faith, mm-hmm. to shut down any and all discussions of changing sexual orientation. I think that's what they're after. They may say, of course, we're not going to ban the Bible.
Right.
We're not going to ban Bible sales. But, Pastor, if you have counseling sessions where you encourage people to stop doing X, Y, and Z.
Based on the Bible?
Based on
Absolutely.
The Bible. I think that they will go after them.
Here's why they will. They wrote this law so vaguely, no one knows what it means,
exactly.
Which is perfect for the left because guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to the Ninth Circuit or a federal judge out in California, and they're going to have them interpret the law to mean that the Holy Bible cannot be used to in therapy sessions.
Right.
Yeah. You know, this is related to what happened to this, what is it, CrossFit?
CrossFit.
One of their top executives, I think he got fired the other day, had to resign because he said, he tweeted that homosexuality was a sin. He believed it was a sin. Do y'all know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah,
you
I'm
remember
looking
seeing
at
that?
The story right now.
Okay, what did he do, Walker?
CrossFit. This is a headline. CrossFit executive fired after calling LGBT community quote senators or sin, calling that a behavior sin. As far as finding the exact quote,
well, what they
this was this was a he was a company Russell Berger, right? He was a head trainer and CrossFit company spokesman. Praise the local Indianapolis gym owner for refusing to celebrate sin, but this was after a Christian executive of a particular gym, right? This is not the guy over all CrossFit's gyms.
Like a franchise owner.
Praised an owner's cancellation of an LGBT pride event.
Yeah, you know, June is LGBT Pride Month. That's why you see this. The rainbow everywhere and pride this and pride that. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. Somebody even sent me a picture of a rainbow bagel at some restaurant this morning. It's just these people, they gotta be affirmed, you know, all the time. And so if you don't affirm them, then you're a hater. If you're a hater, you got to go. But I just thought the reason I'm bringing this up is this executive for CrossFit, he evidently is a Bible-believing Christian. He thinks two men having sex with one another is a sin, and he called it sin, and he was fired? Fired because of
it? Yeah, Russell Berger is a head trainer and CrossFit, I'm reading from now from the company Christian Post, and CrossFit company spokesman. There was a local Indianapolis gym owner who refused to celebrate sin.
Okay.
Russell Berger praised this man.
Gotcha.
And so Russell Berger was fired, and CrossFit explained and said the statements made today by Russell Berger do not reflect the views of CrossFit Inc. For this reason, his employment with CrossFit has been terminated.
What do you think about that? Does this mean a Christian with does this mean a Bible believing Christian can't hold a position in a lot of companies, or just can't express it?
Just can't express it. I think that's what is increasingly happening.
So you think he shouldn't have said this?
No, I think he's fine in saying it.
Yeah.
More and more Christians are going to pay the price.
Yeah.
But if you're a CrossFit franchise owner, for example, like probably thousands of other business owners across America, you may not be in the executive of the corporation, but you're just like, enough already with the gay, lesbian, pride stuff, okay? We have to applaud these people every day, all day.
Right. Well, it goes back to what you were saying. It's got to be affirmed.
They got to be affirmed. And what I'm thinking is this CrossFit franchise owner probably doesn't have a problem with a gay man coming in using his equipment if he wants to pay his monthly fee. That's not the issue. It's that you're coming in here, just do your workout like everybody else. Why do you have to come here and here and say, hey, I'm gay, and I need somebody to be clapping for me right now.
Right.
And if you don't clap, I'm reporting you to your company. Mm. That's what they've done.
Apparently in Indianapolis, Brandon Lowe is the name of the owner of the CrossFit in Indianapolis. This group wanted a workout session celebrating LGBT.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's forced speech.
Yes.
This is like what China does and North Korea does, the Nazis did. It's forced speech. So no longer can you just be quiet if you don't like something. You've got to clap, like you're saying. We got to have a pride day and celebrate everyone. And so, if you don't, you're fired.
So it happened about like I've just described it. So you have a franchise owner in Indiana, I guess, or where
Indianapolis, right.
Indianapolis, a franchise owner of a local CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His business is open to any and all.
Right.
He doesn't ask them what their sexual orientation is before they sign up, pay their dues. But you have one of his customers come in and says, I'm gay, and I need some pride celebrated around this place. So are you going to let me do this or not? Okay. So the franchise owner said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that.
Now, he did say... he didn't think it would be a healthy event based on his religious beliefs. Brandon Lowe, the local owner.
Okay. But so, he's the local owner.
Right.
He's the owner of the business. He's the one that put his money into this. If he wants to have if his Christian faith says, if he wants to say to this guy, although I probably wouldn't have said it, I just said, no, we're not celebrating anybody.
Right.
We're just having a CrossFit. But that's verifiable, by the way. Homosexual sex is unsafe,
right? And here's the thing. This kind of goes to the Jack Phillips thing, because as you've pointed out, like Baronel Stutzman and these others, Jack Phillips. You know, look, you want to come into my bakery? You can buy cupcakes. You can buy a wedding cake off the shelf,
right?
If you're homosexual, yeah. I'm just not doing your wedding because I'm not going to be forced to support something I don't believe in.
Yeah.
So this Brandon Lowe, the owner of the CrossFit in Indianapolis, he's saying, listen, you can come in here. I don't care if you're homosexual and work out. You can even meet a bunch of guys here if you want to work out. We're just not putting a thing out that says this is to celebrate the LGBT pride.
Right. Did he get in trouble for that?
I don't know if he did, but
The guy who commended him.
Yeah, commended him. He got fired.
Yeah. Talking about Jack Phillips, real quick, one of the things people have misconstrued about that case, oftentimes they'll say, well, what's the difference between baking a cake and offering them the cake off the shelf? It was never about baking the cake. It was designing the cake, which Jack argued is an art,
a
form of art. And me putting my art into designing your cake is for speech.
And it's a form of speech.
And so don't believe everything you hear in a news story about it.
Plus, you take the cake to the wedding, you set it up, you do all the little the decoration things. You are participating in the wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, I do think that the average fair-minded American, and I'm not saying they're as conservative as we are here, I think the average fair-minded American out there is about had it up to here with the LGBT demands.
Yeah.
Huh? They're in every TV show.
Right.
They're on every movie, just about. They got pride parades all the time.
Right.
Every company makes the rest of their employees stand up and cheer these people because of the kind of sex that they have.
Yeah, and you have the tolerance.
You got the
seminars.
You got the pride thing all day, every day. I mean, how much is enough, people? You know what I'm saying?
Apparently, we haven't reached the limit of how much is enough.
Well,
because
they're
not going to stop.
No, I think there's never enough. Yeah. I mean, they got same-sex, quote, marriage by the Supreme Court. 2 months later, they're in North Carolina wanting to go in our bathrooms of our little girls.
Right.
So it's never enough.
You know why it's never enough? Because deep down inside, these people are not happy for the most part. They are miserable. They want to feel like what they're doing is okay and normal and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't shake the belief deep down that it isn't, and they're blaming people who won't clap as the reason why they're unhappy.
That's exactly right.
That's why I won't ever stop, because they aren't happy, but they misunderstand the reason why.
Yeah. And why? We got a minute or so. What's the biblical answer to what you've just described?
The biblical answer is forgiveness of sin, and you stop doing it. Now, I'm not saying that changes you from a person who's attracted to people of the same sex. I mean, I think that can happen over time. That is a struggle that some people, like Dennis Jernigan and others, say you fight with that for a long time. But until you have peace with God, you're going to be angry with the entire society, thinking that your lack of peace is their fault, not the fault of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So if I'm a practicing homosexual, for example, or a promiscuous heterosexual, I need to repent.
Need to repent and get right with God so you can have peace with God. Then you start working on sanctification and bringing your life and your urges and your desires into conformity with God's will.
So just quit blaming other people for how I feel and submit my life to God and quit practicing immorality. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Peace with God is what they need. They want the rest of society to pat them on the back.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to make them happy deep down inside.
Chris, thank you for your contributions to this program. Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir. For saying ain't.
Ed, appreciate Ed's comments there. And Brent Creeley producing our show today. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.